Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship. We welcome Bobby and his family and friends for his baptism this morning, which will be conducted by the Reverend Jonas Sewell, our superintendent minister. I'd just like to say that there'll be refreshments after the service, and we hope as many as possible will stay to enjoy them with us. And can I just say thank you to all those who attended the Engage event on Thursday evening and brought food and helped us clear up afterwards. It was very much appreciated. Helen just wants to say something quickly.
I have arrived in time by the skin of my teeth. As you'll see with your notices, you should have a sheet there which is double-sided from the joint public issues team, which the Methodist Church and the Baptist and I think the URC work together on issues that affect us all. They have produced a series of these ahead of the election for you to think about issues that we might want to consider who are the best candidates for us. I do encourage you to read through them. They're really useful. There's these two today. I think another couple are following in the next few weeks. Useful things for you to think about and to consider what our political candidates think before you choose who to vote for. All right, thank you.
We'll now sing our introit, hymn 24. Come, now is the time to worship.
Please be seated. Good morning, folks, and a very warm welcome to worship. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. It feels like a long time since I was here at Denton Burn, so it's lovely to share in worship with you. And a very special welcome to Bobby and Mum and Dad and family and supporters. It's really nice to have you with us as we baptise Bobby shortly. The theme of our service this morning is helping us think about looking up and following the God who loves us. And so we're going to be thinking a lot about that idea of lifting our eyes up and looking at the big picture. And I believe when we do that, what we discover, at least what I have discovered, is the truth that God loves us and that God is with us. And so we're going to continue in that vein by standing and singing again our next hymn, which is number 103, this great old hymn, God is love, let heaven adore him, God is love, let earth rejoice. We stand and sing 103. Well done. Please be seated. That was a little quicker than I was expecting. No bother. Just before we come to baptise Bobby, we are going to hear a reading from the Old Testament that Trudy is going to come and read for us. And this is a reading from a psalm, and this psalm is attributed to David, who we think of as King David. In other words, give or take 50 years, this psalm was written round about 1000 BC. So these words are round about 3,000 years old. Obviously, they weren't written in English. They've been translated, but the psalm and the sentiments behind it were written about 3,000 years ago. Just listen to these words, particularly when we think about new life and about baptism. Sorry, Trudy, up you come.
So this is Psalm 139, and we're reading verses 1 to 16. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Trudy. I love those words, the idea that you knew me when I was knit together in my mother's womb. Isn't that just a beautiful picture and a beautiful sentiment? And with those words in mind, we come now to the baptism of Bobby. So myself and the baptism party have these little booklets. The bits that you need to join in will appear on the screen, okay? So hopefully we can follow and it'll all flow and make sense. So, baptism is God's free gift to us, telling us about God's love and grace. In this outward sign of an inward change, we celebrate, firstly, that Jesus came to live on earth with us to teach us about God's love, and then showed that love by giving his life for us on the cross. Secondly, that God reaches out to each of us today through his Holy Spirit to teach us about his love, to help us know him, and to enable us to live the way he wants us to live. And finally, that God makes us part of the Church of Jesus Christ, so we may be supported by other Christians and love and support them in our turn. Although we do not deserve these gifts of grace or fully understand them, God offers them to us all and invites us to respond. As a church, we remember the words of Jesus after he was raised from the dead. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, Kelly and Michael, having heard these things, how do you respond to the offer of God's grace? Wonderful. I'm going to ask now, if you'd like to come out, Big Brother can come too and give some support. If godparents want to come out as well, if you'd all like to come out. Don't worry. If three of you just want to stand there, and if the godparents just want to come around the back, that's great. Now, I know they're a scary looking lot, but don't worry. They are a friendly lot, trust me, okay? Trust me. So, gracious God, we thank you for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit, for your sustaining, cleansing and life-giving power. From the beginning, your grace has been made known through water and the Spirit. Your Spirit moved over the waters of creation, and you led your people to freedom through a parted sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. He was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and anointed with the Holy Spirit. He passed through the deep waters of death and lives forevermore. He offers us living water and the gift of the Spirit. So, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit, that Bobby, who is to be baptized in this water, may die to sin, be raised with Christ, and be born a new life in the family of your church. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So parents and godparents, I'm going to ask you all two questions, and the response together to each question is, by the grace of God, I do. So, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God? And do you turn to God, trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as helper and guide? and so we affirm our faith together by saying, all of us, we believe in God the Father who made the world. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who redeemed humankind. We believe in the Holy Spirit who gives life to the people of God. Now then, Bobby, for you, Jesus Christ came to the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered death on the cross. For you, he triumphed over death, rising in newness of life. For you, he prays at God's right hand. All this for you before you could know anything of it. In your baptism, the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. And so, can you come a little bit closer? It's all right. It's all right. Good boy. Oh, you're a good boy. I'm going to put a tiny little bit of water on your head, okay? Like this. Do you like water? It's not too cold, I promise. Bobby Max Toner, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Is that funny? And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By baptism, God has received you into the church. And Bobby, I sign you with the cross, the sign of Christ. Well done. You're a brave boy. Well done. Well done. Stand up. Well done. A candle is now going to be presented. David's going to come up and give it. And as it's presented, I say, Bobby, receive this light, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way. May you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Amen. We're going to say it together now. Oh, sorry. Sorry, David, I forgot about the Bible. Max has just been presented with a children's first Bible, which hopefully he'll enjoy the stories. So we're going to say together this word of blessing. This is especially for Bobby. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. So we come now to the baptismal promises. So Michael and Kelly, I ask you now to respond to God's love and grace to your child by making these promises. Three questions, the response to each is, with God's help, we will. Will you continue to love Bobby, committing yourself to care for him in body, mind, and spirit? Will you therefore ensure that he is nurtured in the faith and life of the Christian community? And will you set before him a Christian example that through your prayers, words, and deeds, he may learn the way of Christ? And a question to the four godparents. The response is the same. And so Tracy, Stacey, Nicola, and Stephen, will you help Michael and Kelly to nurture Bobby in the Christian faith? Wonderful, thank you. And a question to us all, the body of Christ. Will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that Bobby may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? So the Bible for Bobby has been presented. There's also his baptism certificate in there. We'll give that to Dad. And there's a card for each of the godparents. I'll just give them and then you can hand them out. There is a final prayer. So let us pray. Generous God, on this very special morning for Bobby, touch us all again with the fire of your Spirit and renew in us all the grace of our baptism, that we may profess the one true faith and live in love and unity with all who are baptized into Christ. Amen. Amen. Well done. You can return to your seats. Very well done. You can blow the candle out as well, otherwise it might. There was something in our reading about that idea of God knowing us before we were born, and baptism signifies a new being, a new creation in Jesus. So we're going to sing a song that picks that up. We're going to sing this one through twice. It's number 553. It's just the short one. I am a new creation. 553. We stand to sing, and after we have sung this, the children will go out for their own activities. Well done. Please be seated, and our children and young people will go out for their own activities. So may God go with you. Wonderful. We come now to a short prayer, so let us pray. Father God, we thank you, especially this day, for the gift of new life. Whether it's the wonder of a child, the innocence, the excitement, that sense of wonder that they have at the world, or whether it's the new life we find in you, as we know that we are accepted and loved and forgiven. We thank you that you are the God of life, the God of goodness, the God of hope. And we thank you that you always consistently love us. As we worship you today, we pray that something of your goodness would get through to us. That our eyes, our hearts, our spirits might be open to you. And that something of your goodness and mercy would speak in. Move in us. And reveal yourself to us this day, we ask. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we've already had a reading which speaks about how God knows us and is with us and has known us and loves us. And now we're going to hear another psalm, again, written around about 3,000 years ago, which just speaks of that sense of wonder and awe at creation. So Heather is going to come and read this for us. Thank you so much, Heather.
This is Psalm 8. Our Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all of earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that care for them? Yet you have made them little lower than God. You have crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them domain over works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep, oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish in the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Our Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all of the earth.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Well, I hope you are in good voice, because we're going to sing again. I know you've only just sat down, but when we've had a psalm that speaks of the wonder of creation, we're going to sing hymn number 82. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, how great thou art. We stand once again. One of the things I love doing to relax and switch off is I love going out walking. I love going out in the hills and the mountains, that sense of that we've just sang, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur. I feel at peace, and I love walking. Last year, I went out for a walk, and my mind was preoccupied. And I was walking up a hill in the Dales called Great Shunner Fell. And as I was walking up, my head was down. Work was full of, well, you don't need to know, rubbish, let's just say. I was stressed, I was anxious, and all I was looking at was the path in front of me. And all I was engaged with was my own thoughts. And I reached a point, as I approached the summit, that I came to a cairn. Does everyone know what a cairn is? A cairn is a pile of stones that guides the way. And I suddenly, as I reached the cairn, I looked back. And I had what I can only call a wow moment. I looked back and I was suddenly aware that I was part of something much bigger. As I looked up instead of down, I suddenly had this view before me. This is looking back up Swaledale towards Reith, for those of you who know that part of the country. And it was a real wow moment, a sense of awe at the beauty of the world. And that sense of, wow, I am part of so much bigger. And wow, that sense of perspective, it just how small I am compared with the world. And I suddenly found myself asking, is that not a good metaphor for life? How often do we go through life with our eyes down, only thinking about ourselves, only engaged in our story, only engaged in the things that are bothering us, and we spend our time looking down, thinking about what's before us, what's before me, thinking about what I'm worried about, and we forget to look up. We forget to look around. We forget to remind ourselves that we are part of a bigger story. Does anyone else live like that, or is it just me? No, you're laughing, so it's not just me. So I make no apologies, because today is about stopping and looking up. And so to stop and look up, because we've had readings about the world, we're going to stop and look up. And I want to start off with a science lesson, which might seem strange for church. I loved science at school, and I still love science. I'll do it, thank you. And I still love science. And people often think you can't have a faith and an interest in science, and I want to say that is total and utter nonsense. Total and utter nonsense. So, a quick science lesson. Put your hand up, be honest, put your hand up if you're over 40. Right, keep your hand up if you're over 50. Keep your hand up if you're over 60. Keep your hand up if you're over 70. Keep your hand up if you're over 80. Keep your hand up if you're over 90. Oh, wow. Is anyone over 100? No, no one's over. Wow, we have two people here over 90. Wonderful. I remember when I hadn't been a minister long, I was asked to go and visit this lady I got to know really well on the day of her 100th birthday. And she was an amazing lady. She still lived by herself. She still looked after herself. She still had all her faculties. She was as sharp as a tack, and she had the best sense of humour of anyone I have ever met. And I said to her on her 100th birthday, thinking of all of the years you've been alive, what for you has been the greatest invention? And I was thinking of telecommunications. I was thinking of air travel. I was thinking of the car. I was thinking of, you know, computing and all this sort of stuff. And she went quiet for a moment. And with a twinkle in her eye and a smile on her mouth, she said, the microwave oven. And that was my reaction. And she said to me, Jonna, she said, when I was a girl, the idea that you could put a food in a box and press a button and it would come out cooked 3 minutes later was science fiction. And she says, now it's in my kitchen. To us, well, to me, 100 years is a long time. And to humans, it is. But the universe is 13.77 billion years old. The sun, our sun, is 4.57 billion years old. And our Earth that we live on is just over 4.5 billion years old. So suddenly 100 years doesn't seem very much, does it? If the history of the Earth was compressed to one 24-hour day, humans wouldn't appear until the last 20 seconds. Think about that. If the whole history of the Earth was compressed to 24 hours, humans wouldn't appear until the last 20 seconds of that day. Modern humans, like us, wouldn't appear until the last 4 seconds. The last 2,000 years since Jesus would only be the last 1/25th of a second. And the last century would be the last 1/500th of a second. Wow. We've thought about Earth. Now a quick science lesson about our cosmos, our galaxy. Our nearest star, our neighbour in astronomical terms, is Alpha Centauri. If we wanted to get to Alpha Centauri in 100 years, then we would have to travel at an average speed of 8,333 miles per second. So over 8,000 miles a second, you'd have to travel to get there in 100 years. And that's our nearest star. Well, other than the sun, obviously. And there are an estimated 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And there are an estimated 100 billion galaxies. Our Earth, 8.7 billion species on our Earth, 7.1 billion people speaking 6,500 languages. And us being Brits, we go abroad and we talk loudly and point. I wonder, when you hear all that about the size of the universe, about the scope of it all, how does that make you feel? Here's a few possible responses. Oh, amazed. Move that D up. For me, there's a sense of wonder and awe. There's that sense of, wow, this is so vast, this is so big. My mind can't quite comprehend it all. But there's also a sense of, that makes me feel really small. It makes me actually feel quite, I don't want to say insignificant, but unimportant. It makes me feel like my life is just fleeting. And that can be a hard thing to feel. The writer of the Psalms, David, captured something of that same sense of wonder. He said, your works are wonderful. And he also said, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in their place. This wasn't a man doing a theological understanding of where the universe came from. This was a man looking at the universe and just going, wow. Do you ever have those times, particularly at night? Well, for me it's at night, where you're out from all the streetlights. And so you have no light interference. And you look up, and it's a clear sky, and it's just vibrant stars and you just go, wow. Is that just me who does that? Just that sense of, oh my word. That's what David is capturing here, that sense of wow, that sense of isn't this world, isn't this universe amazing? But he also senses that, gets the other sense, that sense of looking up and then feeling small. Because he goes on to say, what is man, what is humanity that you are mindful of them? What is, who are we in comparison? So 3,000 years ago, David was wrestling with these things, that sense of vastness, but that sense of smallness. But David comes to realize a few things. He realizes that we are the best of creation. He says, you made him, us, humanity, a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over all the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. So David came to realize that despite that sense of wow, that sense of smallness, that we, that people, are the best of creation. He also came to realize that we are known and loved by God. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. It's amazing when you get to know someone. When you're perhaps your partner, or perhaps a good friend. When you get to know what each other's thinking and feeling. When you can sense what each other's going through. When you almost finish each other's sentences. Where you're at that sense of closeness with someone where even when they get it wrong, even when they make a mistake, you'll be there for them. You know the sort of relationship I'm talking about, don't you? That sort of intimacy. That's what David's talking about here, that sense of closeness, that sense of God knowing us to that level of intimacy. We are known and loved by God. And David realizes in the midst of that sense of bigness and smallness, he realizes that God is always with us. He says, where can I flee from your presence? And that's not David saying, I want to escape, I want to get away. That's David saying, no matter where I go, you are there. If I go to the far side of the sea, you are there. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. I might say, if I go to the mountaintop, if I get on a plane and fly to Australia, if I'm an astronaut in the International Space Station, even there, there is God. So there's that sense of God is always with us. So I think what David's getting is that although we might feel small, insignificant, unimportant when we look at the bigness and the vastness of the universe, I think that's that sense of we are special and we are precious to God. Indeed, each and every one of us is unique. I'm going to ask you to do something here, which I'm guessing will make some of you feel uncomfortable. I don't apologize. What I would like you to do is just look into the eyes of the person sat next to you. Properly look at the eyes. We're not used to it because it feels so intimate. But just for a moment, look into the eyes of the person sat next to you. Okay? Blue. Wow. Why do I ask you to do that? Other than to make you feel awkward. Because when you look into someone's eyes, you are looking at something absolutely unique on this earth. No one else has the eyes you have just looked into. No one. People might have similar colour, but the pattern of the iris, everyone's eyes are absolutely unique. You have just looked at something totally and utterly unique on this planet. I think that's amazing. Look at your fingerprints, yeah. The pattern of your skin. We all know that it's individual. You are unique. Your DNA is unique. There is no one else on this earth who will look exactly like you, who will think like you, who will hold the same combinations of opinions that you do. There is no one else who will experience life like you experience life. There is no one else who will view the world through your eyes. There is no one like you. So even when you feel small, you are amazingly unique. You are special. And you are precious. I agree with the writer of the Psalms. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are loved by the God who is with us. I truly believe we are so unique and special. We are loved by the God who is always with us. But there's a question for you. Can we prove love in the same way we can prove the distance to a star? No. But that doesn't mean it's not real. Can I prove I love my wife? Of course I can't. I can tell her I love her. I can buy her things, but that doesn't prove it. Can I prove I love my son? Of course I can't. Can I prove I love my friends? Can any of you prove you love anyone? Not in any scientific, empirical sense, you can't. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Because some things have to be experienced. And love has to be experienced. And I can say I believe God loves us. Because my experience is that I have experienced the love of God. And I know I am accepted and loved for who I am. Not for what I do, not for how I perform, not for whether I behave or not. Think about it this way. Kids, they can be fantastic. But boy, they can be a pain in the backside at times as well, can't they? Can't they? Yes, I'm just being honest. But when our children or our grandchildren, when someone we love is naughty or misbehaves, when they don't meet our hopes, do we love them any less? Do we? No. And so it is with us and God. We are his children. And in the same way, our children might frustrate us and annoy us and wind us up. Maybe that's just my experience. We love them because we are their parents. And because that's what parents do. They love. And so it is with us and God. And if you take nothing else from the day, take that. You are unique and you are loved. Without question and without reserve. I want to skip that one and go on to that one. So the question I want to ask you is this. Going back to where we started. How are you going to live? Eyes down. Thinking only about yourself, thinking only about your life, your story, what's going on with you. Or with eyes up, looking around at the world around us, and the people around us. I only find out that I know and experience and I'm more aware of God's love when I choose to look up, when I choose to see bigger. Jesus said to the disciples time and time again, come and follow me. I think Jesus invites us to live a life looking up, to live a life knowing that we are loved, knowing that we are precious, and knowing that we are His. Will you follow Jesus? We're going to sing before we pray. And we're going to sing number 673, 673. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you love us in the way a parent loves a child. Thank you that you accept us the way we are, despite our imperfections and flaws, despite our disobedience and our tendency to selfishness. Thank you that you love us. Forgive us when we get it wrong. Forgive us when we live with our eyes down, when we think only about self and our story, when we forget the stories of others and the story of this planet. Help us to live on a bigger map, and help us to know, not just to believe, but to experience love. Love which comes from you, love which is deep and transforming. Love that invites us to be better and to follow. And Lord, we seek that love because we realize that this world needs a different way of living. It needs a different way of being. So much of what we see from our politicians and in the world around is about half-truths and untruths, about selfish ambition. Lord, only you can change the human heart. It's come into this world and transform that which is broken. Make whole that which is damaged. We pray for our politicians in this election season, and Lord, we simply pray for truth. That truth would be told by politicians, by media, and that the conversation would be flavored with respect, with understanding, and with love. And we take a moment to pray for those people we are worried about, those people who we love, who are struggling today. I leave a moment of quiet. And so, Lord God, we offer our prayers, and with them ourselves. Open our eyes. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, I'm not always the most organized worship leader. You can probably tell. But I've missed two things. I missed out a reading, which I apologise Ben for, because Ben was going to read it. And I've also missed out the offering, which I tend to do. So, as we sing our final hymn, the offering will be received. We stand and sing number 545, 545. The hymn is Be Thou My Vision. May God's vision be your vision, but moreover, may God's vision of who you are be your vision. As you go, may you know yourselves precious and loved, and may you live eyes open. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.